Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good evening. This is Love Sport Radio. We are into the final half an hour of our Sunday fan show special. Plenty going on this evening. We started with Watford, then we moved on to AFC Wimbledon, and then we had Manchester United. Following that, it was Norwich City. And now, at 22:30, it is Sunderland. We didn't have the Sunderland fan show last week, and they didn't even play this weekend, of course, due to international commitments. However, we've got news. Of course we've got news. A certain Jack Ross is no longer at the helm. He has been sacked of Sunderland, as we know. That one came up after Sunderland were defeated by Lincoln City a couple of weeks ago. Sixth in the table now after 11 games of the season played. Of course, Ross didn't have the worst record, really, when you consider it at the Stadium of Light. Of course, he led them to the EFL Trophy Final. He led them to the League One Playoff Final. They lost, however, on both of those occasions. Now, this is an interesting one, and we're going to get Niall Bromley on from the Roker Report shortly. And I'm going to put some stats to him because I think that is ultimately what we have to judge them on from the outside. Of course, we get people like Niall on to give us the expert opinion. But when you look at it on the surface of things, the Black Cats have lost just two of 14 matches in all competitions this season. They beat both Burnley and Sheffield United in the Carabao Cup this season. They have a very, very good chance of reaching the quarterfinals with a trip to Oxford in the next round. Of course, the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup, that would be a remarkable achievement for Sunderland. And when you look at the current teams within the top four tiers of English league football, and this was a stat that was put out by Opta, only Liverpool with one and Manchester City with six have lost fewer league games than Sunderland, which is seven, since Jack Ross was appointed ahead of the 2018-2019 season. Of course, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for Jack Ross. He has now gone. But he hasn't gone with any animosity, of course. And actually, sources within the club, assistant James Fowler, of course, with first team coach John Potter and goalkeeping coach Craig Sampson as well, said there were tears. There were tears upon the announcement. He has since returned to the club to say his goodbyes and did release quite a lovely statement as well when, as part of the LMA, where he said, "It's been an honour to have the responsibility and the privilege of managing Sunderland AFC for the past 18 months. It is with regret that I leave my position there." He said a whole lot more. And to talk about it now, we do have Niall Bromley from Roker Report on the line. How are you doing, Niall?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Mate, it's been a couple of weeks since we spoke and a hell of a lot has happened.
Yeah, lots happened. We've had a defeat to Lincoln, which was, shocking performance. And since then we've had the takeover off, we've had the takeover on, and obviously Jack Ross sacked. And, just a lot of things have built up, and it's been a strange couple of weeks, but hopefully we'll get the answers over the next couple of days as to who's going to come in ready for Wickham on Saturday.
Well, it's been, like you said, a bit of a rocky couple of weeks. What's the feeling within the Roker Report camp and the extended Sunderland family? Because I don't know whether you heard the stats that I just read out there in terms of the outsiders looking in, just two or 14 matches in all comps this season. You could be leading to the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup. You've got a pretty decent record under Jack Ross, but it just hasn't been enough for him.
Yeah, I mean, with Roker Report, not just Roker Report, the whole fan base has been totally divided. I think it's been divided ever since the guy took over. A lot of people, he's a great guy, and he's, the way he speaks is brilliant, and everybody, believes in what he says. But the problem is, and I've said this to you a few times, Matty, he can't decide his best 11, and that has always been his biggest problem. He's never been able to figure it out. And yeah, I mean, if you look at his record, yeah, he's beaten two Premier League teams in the Carabao Cup. He's got us to two finals. He's only lost one home game. If you look at it like that, you think, come on, why are you sacking this guy? But thing is, Matt, it wasn't good enough. And the football we played wasn't great. And, you know, it was, yeah, I get a lot of teams are going to raise their game against Sunderland, but it was never, you know, it was always just sloppy after that. And we could never sort of just start a game on the front foot and win the game comfortably on the front foot. It would never be like that. We'd start on the front foot, and then for whatever reason, they could get back in the game, or the opposite. We'd start on the back foot, they go 1-0 up, and we couldn't do anything about it. And this was happening every week, and there was no consistency there. And when you're a club, you know, I don't want to sound, you know, arrogant in a way, but when you're a club the size of what we are in the league that we are, the supporters are going to expect results, and, you know, they're not coming in. We're drawing too many. 19 draws last season. We've already drawn too many and lost too many this season. It's, you know, for me personally, it was time to go. And hats off to the guy. You know, it's horrible for people to lose their job, and I never want a manager to lose his job, but it was time to go, mate. It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. A queue of players, coaches, ground staff, everybody was lined up outside his office when he came back to say goodbye. And like I said, it's been an amicable departure, I suppose. And something that's not been so amicable is the fact that Stuart Donald has now quit Twitter permanently. I know he put out a statement via the club's Twitter feed saying that he's only going to communicate via the official club channels now because he received a bit of backlash. This is all to do with the takeover and, you know, alleged bonuses that he might receive as a result of that, purely alleged. And also Executive Director Charlie Methven has had to come out and kind of explain his position with things and the fact that there's loads of rumours and he's saying things aren't true. So it's all just a bit mucky at the moment, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, you can look at it and think it's mucky. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Stuart Donald is always, from the start, the day he took over, he wanted to communicate with the fans because Ellis Short, the last owner we had, never communicated with the fans. You know, nobody ever knew what was going on. We had a little group set up called the Red and White Army who they reached out to the club because the fans were desperate to know what was going on, and nothing was being leaked, and, you know, nothing was coming out and nobody ever knew. Stuart Donald come in and understood those frustrations and wanted to change it instantly, and that's why he took it upon himself to come on Twitter and to be open and, you know, answer every question that's thrown at him, and which was great. You know, at the time, you know, everybody loved it, but I think a lot of people felt that it was too much, and, he does have a lot to deal with. He does own, you know, a football club, and it's hard to answer every question, and it just built up on him, and it got too much for him, and he struggled with it. And at the end of the day, I personally wanted Stuart Donald to come off Twitter pretty quickly, because every single time, you know, you get fans, you know, criticizing him, and that's fine. You know, fans, everyone is entitled to their opinion, and that's why we love football, because football is full of opinions. I mean, if we didn't have opinions in football, nobody would enjoy it. And that's the crap. But he, you know, Stuart Donald just wanted to speak to the fans. But I think when he came in, I don't know if he realised how big the club is, and that might have been half the issue. But he tried his best, and he really did. And now I think with the takeover up in the air, and nobody knows what's going on with that, and with, obviously, we don't have a manager, it's definitely the best decision to come off there for now, because he's made a commitment in replying to the fans and letting the fans know what's going on. Right now he can't do that because he doesn't necessarily know what's going on himself. So he's just took himself away from it. He's going to sort the job out, you know, off the field. He's going to sort out who the manager is going to be, and he's going to sort out, you know, what's going on with the investment, and he's going to do that off the field. And yeah, and he doesn't need social media to be replying to every Tom, Dick and Harry, every question they've got, because, you know, he's got too much to do, and that's absolutely fine. And, you know, Stuart Donald is a great guy. I've met Stuart Donald a few times, and he's, you know, he's so open and he's such a lovely person. He doesn't need the abuse he's getting because of people who don't necessarily understand the situation. He doesn't need that, you know. So coming off social media is fantastic, and hopefully he can sort everything off the field that needs to be sorted, and then in a few months' time or whatever, he can come back on and he can respond to fans and say, this is why I've done it. Now you've seen the result and you've seen the finished article, and that's why I came off. So on and so forth.
Yeah, let's hope so. Well, as things stand, there is a massive vacancy for one of the biggest clubs in the land, and we are going to get on to the clash with Wickham next week when that void may well be filled. And of course, a certain candidate for the job is Gareth Ainsworth. We're going to be speaking with Phil Catchpole, who is a reporter for BBC Three Counties Radio. I know he's actually done some work with you guys already this week, Niall, but just let's talk about the potential candidates for this role, because so many names linked, so many people raising their interest in the job, Nigel Pearson being one, former favourite Kevin Phillips being another. But I saw that you did a really good article on the site where you asked for ex-players, Danny Collins, Carlos Edwards, Nicky Summerby, Paul Thirlwell, five ex-players I should say, and Matt Kilgallen, about who they think the next manager to be. It was quite a varied amount of answers from those guys.
Yeah, it was. But I think it is with every Sunderland fan. I mean, nobody can decide. I change my mind, Matt. I change my mind every half hour. Seriously, mate. I can't decide. I mean, one minute I'm thinking Paul Cook. You know, he's worked with Will Grigg. He's worked with Max Power. He's got Wigan out of that league. You know, he got promoted with Portsmouth. He knows what he's doing. He's the man. And then I read about, you know, I look at Stendhal and I'm thinking, well, Stendhal, you know, he scored, you know, so many goals at Barnsley, and we don't score many goals. Maybe he'll change that. And, you know, they got promoted and all this. And then, like I say, Nigel Pearson with, you know, reportedly, I don't know how true it is, it's just rumours, but with Kevin Phillips as his number two. And, you know, you think, oh my God, Kevin Phillips back at the club, that's the best thing ever, get him in. I mean, it's just, my mind changes literally every half hour. I can't decide. And, I mean, if you look at logically, like Gareth Ainsworth, he's done a fantastic job at Wickham. Do I agree with the style of football he plays? No. But no disrespect to Wickham. But we're footballers. I think Sunderland, you know, we have, obviously Wickham higher than us in the league, so it's a bit stupid to say this, but I think Sunderland have a little bit more, you know, talent and a little bit more experience in that team than Wickham. Would he play that style of football? He probably wouldn't. He'd have to adapt it. Then is that a problem that he's having to change his style? I don't know. And I mean, Phil Parkinson did brilliant with Bolton to get them promoted. Yeah, it looks great on paper, but then again, his style wasn't fantastic. And honestly, Matt, I don't know. I can't answer your question.
It's tough, isn't it? It's really tough.
I mean, ridiculous. Everyone's Roy Keane. Get Roy Keane back, but he hasn't had a manager's job since, I think, was it 2011 or 2012 when he left Ipswich? I know he's been number two at various places, but he's never had a number one role. You know, is that a problem? I don't know. I mean, Matt, who would your choice be? From an outsider point of view, who would you think would be the best candidate for this role?
It's really tough. I think Paul Cook 100% is a good candidate for now. The caveat to that is, of course, that Peter Reid is on his coaching staff at Wigan. So there's a whole new layer to that story. I think and we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, sometimes I can't look beyond Sam Allardyce. And I know that that's not a popular opinion, but that is someone who you can almost guarantee is going to bring some good back for the club, was very successful in his previous spell. Yes, he was very quick to walk off and go to England, but that was his dream job. I think that if you get Sam Allardyce in, what you do know is that you're going to get a certain style of play, a certain type of manager, and a manager at that level who will probably get results.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be honest, he's not going to come on. I mean, I think he said on TalkSport a few weeks ago, you know, he doesn't want the job. He made himself available when this takeover talk was coming, but then he's recently said, you know, he's not interested. So that's fine. Obviously, the problem is with Sam Allardyce. I mean, it's not long term with Sam Allardyce. It never is. He's never, I mean, I know he was at Bolton for a few years, but after that, it's always, you know, one or two seasons. And Sam Allardyce is a survival specialist. He's not a get out of League One specialist, you know. He's a survival specialist. It's not the football that he knows. So personally, I mean, obviously, if he was appointed, I'd love it. And the nostalgia of it would be fantastic. I mean, nostalgia is something that some fans are obviously craving, you know, with Roy Keane, Kevin Phillips, Sam Allardyce, all interested in the job. Like, you know, that is something that some fans, yeah, get them back. You know, even Gus Poyet has been mentioned. It's all nostalgia. And it, like you say,
get DiCanio back.
imagine him back. No, I don't think he'll ever get a job again, DiCanio.
But I think, we're going to quickly move on because Phil Catchpole is going to come on. But at some point, you look at Gareth Ainsworth and you think he does have to go to that next level. That could be controversial with Phil coming on because is at the next level with Wickham currently in second place in League One. And of course, Nigel Pearson does have that proven track record at Leicester. So much more to talk about on the Sunderland Fan Show on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the Sunderland Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Niall Bromley of the Roker Report. And right now, I'm delighted to say that we have Phil Catchpole on the line of BBC Three Counties, football commentator, reporter and journalist. Fellas, I'm going to let you two kind of not go head-to-head because it doesn't need to get like that. Of course it doesn't. But there is a big game next weekend at Adams Park. Sunderland do travel to Wickham. At the time, Sunderland may well have a new manager. And hey, that new manager may have been the manager that would have been in the home dugout. Phil Catchpole, it's great to have you on. What's your take on the Gareth Ainsworth to Sunderland story?
Well, it'd be absolutely incredible if after 7 years of Gareth Ainsworth at Adams Park, his first game as a non-Wickham manager was to be at Adams Park. I think it would just be a little bit surreal. I mean, it would be lovely for him to be able to say goodbye to the home fans, but it would be very, very odd, wouldn't it? I mean, it's great for him personally to be linked with such a massive club like Sunderland, and it's deserved in my opinion as well, because he's done a phenomenal job at Wickham, and I think few people in football realise just what a great job he's done at Wickham, just because he's not been troubling the tops of the leagues that often. But you know, Wickham's been in a really bad state financially, and he's done a phenomenal job, and he deserves all this attention he's getting.
Would there be an air of acceptance from what you're... It sounds like there would be from what you're saying, Phil, but the fact that Wickham are in second place in League One, probably the best chance they are ever going to have of getting to the Championship, I mean, probably since the Martin O'Neill era when they came so close after those two successive promotions. But he's in this position now, and if he was to leave, I mean, you're saying he deserves it, but surely there'd be a case of, we were so close.
Yeah, of course. And also, I mean, it's a massive time for the club because there's a vote going on about, you know, money coming in and selling a majority stake to outside investment. And for the first time, if Gaz does stay, then he's going to get some resources. So it would be kind of ironic that he would leave as this was happening. But yeah, I think fans, he's been there so long and we've done so much with him, and he's brought us back from, you know, the brink of going out of existence. We've had some wonderful times in the cup and promotions and et cetera. And I think, you know, I would say 99% of the fans at Wickham Wanderers would want to see Gaz go on and achieve. And, you know, when they get to the Premier League, and they would probably support the team that Gareth Ainsworth would go to after Wickham Wanderers, they'd probably kind of almost make them their second team or keep an eye on those results, because that's how well-loved he is at Adams Park.
Well, there you go, Niall. You'd be a second team.
yeah. I don't know. I think, Phil, I mean, I've seen a lot of Wickham fans like kind of half, you know, saying, yeah, you know, he's done so well, yeah, he should go, which is a bit strange for me personally, but I kind of half get it. But you know, how do you agree with Gareth's style of football? I mean, I've watched Wickham play a few times, and you know, like against us twice last season, yeah, Wickham were, you know, the time wasting and falling down, and you know, like it, the football wasn't great. It was a little bit sort of dirty in a sense, like, you know, just trying to play every card with a referee. Do you think if Gareth Ainsworth was to get the Sunderland job, do you think he could adapt to not doing that and, you know, work with the players we have. Because no disrespect to Wickham. Wickham have got a very good team, but I think we do have more talent. Do you think that he could adapt with the talent, or do you think he would, you know, just carry on the way he plays with Wickham?
Absolutely, he can adapt to the talent. I mean, we've seen it at Wickham this season. We've had a bit of money coming in from these guys who want to buy the club, and he's invested that in exciting forward players. I mean, I'd challenge anyone just to go and look at the goal, the second goal that Wickham scored against Peterborough at Adams Park. It was phenomenal football, built from the back, good passing football. And I understand that Sunderland fans are scratching their head a bit because the two games that Wickham played against Sunderland last season, especially the game at Adams Park, yeah, you know, we kicked Sunderland all over the park and we got in their face, and Sunderland won up for a fight that day, which, unfortunately, as you're aware now, League One is pretty tough, you know, and teams, unfortunately, won't turn up and roll over and have their belly tickled by a bigger club because they want to fight. I mean, to put it into perspective, Wickham had a budget of 1.6 million last season, and, you know, they shouldn't even be in the same league or even on the same pitch for what Sunderland's money is. But, you know, money can come and go, and Sunderland find themselves in League One, and they're going to come up against teams, and they have come up against teams that won't roll over. And I thought Wickham were excellent against Sunderland last season. They stayed in the division by 3 points. Two of those points were picked up against Sunderland. Sunderland missed promotion by 4 points. You could argue that were the 4 points they should have taken against Wycombe Wanderers had they turned up for a fight in those two games. Unfortunately for Sunderland, you can play pretty football all day every week, but it don't get you out of League One. You've got to have the heart and the fight for it as well. And I mean, Gareth as a player was an exciting attacking player. And yeah, I mean, he gets the best out of his squad. And unfortunately, Wickham couldn't compete with the technical players that you guys have got at your disposal. I mean, you've got a £4 million striker in the squad. I mean, Wickham's, I don't think they spent £4 million in the entirety that I've followed them, which is over 30 years. it's a massive gap. But to answer your question, I think he's a bright, young, astute manager. And I think, you know, you get reputations in football, of course you do. And football can be quite irrational. And, you know, a lot of your fans are basing their opinion on Gareth Ainsworth over two games last season, I think purely because he didn't win either of those games, which, you know, we understand, we're all football fans, that's how it works. But I think it'd probably surprise a few people. I remember when Luke O'Nine signed for you, I remember doing something for Roker Report, and a lot of the Sunderland fans were a bit underwhelmed that they'd signed this lad from Wycombe Wanderers. I said at the time he'd become one of your favourite players, and lo and behold, I think I've been proved right, haven't I?
Oh, 100%. I mean, me and Matt spoke about Luke O'Nine a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, it's not just his footballing ability, it's everything about the guy. He's just got such a charisma about him, you know. He's always smiling, he's always happy, and he's, you know, he just wants to work all the time. I mean, I've heard stories where, I think Matt told us, where he got locked out of Wickham's training ground because he was doing too much, you know, and he's always like the last person on the pitch, and he's the last person on the training ground every day, also the first one there and stuff like that. So yeah, his attitude is brilliant. And I think if Ainsworth was to come to Sunderland, I think him and, you know, I think Luke O'Nine would have a big part with that. But what you said earlier about, you know, the two games against us last year, which were, you know, Wickham, like I say, yeah, the challenges were flying in, and there was a few sendings off, and Marcus Bean likes a tackle, which you can probably agree with. But,
yeah.
You know, yeah, but I've spoken to a few fans from other clubs, like, and, you know, I remember a Pompey fan saying to me after that game at Adams Park last season, saying, "Welcome to the dark world of Wycombe Wanderers. You know, this is what they do." So it isn't only Sunderland fans who felt that against Wickham last season. You know, there was, you know, I know a lot of football teams. It wasn't just Wickham. There was a few teams last season which were, you know, just, you know, time wasting and stuff like that. Which is fine. You know, you need to do what you need to do to win a game. But Wickham stood out in front of everybody. I think everybody couldn't believe that the game that they played, and it worked. Like you said, you know, you got 2 points and it worked. And it, you know, it obviously was a part of the game plan. But I don't think, as a Sunderland fan, and I think many other Sunderland fans, if Gareth Ainsworth tried to do that with us, he wouldn't be accepted. But like you said, that goal that you scored against Peterborough, if we can play that kind of football, you know, jobs are good, and I think everyone will be delighted. And obviously that proves that he can adapt and he can change his style of play, which is something that, you know, we would love to take aboard. But yeah, it's going to be a very strange game next weekend if that happens. To be honest, personally, I mean, I might eat my words at the end of this, but I don't know if Gareth Ainsworth is going to be who comes in. I'd be excited to see him in there because I like the fire he's got in his belly and I like how he speaks, but I'm not 100% sure that is where Stuart Donald's going to go.
Well, chaps, I could talk about this for an hour. Thoroughly enjoying this back and forth, but we are at the end of our show. Before we go, of course, it is going to be quite the ding-dong battle regardless of what happens in that managerial vacancy. No team has scored more goals at home in League One this season than Wickham, but only two teams have conceded more at home than Wickham, those two teams being MK Dons and Southend at the bottom end of the League One table. Phil, just a quick prediction before you go.
Well, I think you've set it up perfectly. There's going to be goals, and they tend to come late at Wickham Wanderers as well. So I'm going to go for plenty of goals, and don't leave early. Even if you want to get out of the car park quick, do not leave before the final whistle.
Lovely stuff. Niall, from you?
Depending on the manager, I've not got a clue. I'm going to go with our key result, 1-1.
Lovely stuff. This has been the Sunderland Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.